Okay, then I want to go through a few more examples of things that are also because of Tikkun Mamah, of repairing something that's out of order, that's not functional, or that is significant enough to be considered a correction or a tikkun that's either Ashram of the Rabbanon or could be even Ashram of the Torah. Touching up a shaker, a wig that is totally disheveled, windblown, that the person would not wear. Surely the first time that you set a wig can't be done on Shabbos. Can't even be combed out in order to make it wearable. And even if it was wearable once, but it got unwearable, you can't fix it up to make it wearable again on Shabbos. However, if it was wearable and just needed a little touch-up, you'd wear it the way that it is, but you want to touch it up a little bit, that's okay. However, using hairspray that is scented is usher no matter what, because you can't put a scent into something that's not your hair or the real hair or your skin. But in addition, any hairspray, even to touch up something and to put the spray in, is called Tikkun Mamah, because it makes the touch up stay for a considerable amount of time. And that's also, that's a significant improvement in the shaker. On the other hand, there is a way that you could use hairspray. If the shaker is totally set, you don't have to change anything. Just want to put the hairspray so that it should last longer, that's okay. But that's not a usual situation. Usually when you use the hairspray, you're touching up a little bit here and there. That's also to use the hairspray no matter what. And if it's scented hairspray, then even in the case that I say would be mutter, where before Shabbos it was totally set, and you just want to add the hairspray to keep it longer, if it's scented, that's also completely. You're not allowed to add a scent into something that's also called Tikkun Mamah. It's nolad. It's creating something that wasn't there before. On the other hand, a hat that got crushed. Since that's a normal thing for hats, and the normal thing then is to just punch it out, that's mutter. So it's mutter if your hat gets punched in a little bit to be able to punch it out on Shabbos. That's not called Tikkun Mamah.
Only a little bit?
What?
Specifically a little bit?
Yeah, if it's, even if it's not wearable the way that it is, but it's normal for that to happen, that's not called Tikkun Mamah.
I've seen people refrain. Is there a chumar or is that just a mistake?
It depends if it's what's it called. I don't know. It could be the poskim also. The mice, the way we hold is this mutter. It's also to put new stuffing into a pillow. Surely a new pillow that never had stuffing in it, whether it's foam, feathers, whatever it may be. If the pillow or the mattress, whatever it is, was stuffed, and then the stuffing came out, you want to put back that same stuffing, that's mutter. Putting in new stuffing is usher. Things that are not that significant, and again, happen constantly, and people fix them up easily. A paper cup, a plastic cup, I mean, gets bent in. You can unbend it. That's not called Tikkun Mamah because it's something that happens all the time. It's a very insignificant kind of thing, even though when it was bent you couldn't use the cup, and now you can. That's mutter.
What if it got to the point that when you try to bend it back,
hold the question. I'll give you time to answer, okay? And the same thing goes with a napkin that had crumbled up. You're allowed to fold it back, smooth it out. All these things are not called Tikkun Mamah because they happen easily and they're easily corrected. But if you have aluminum foil and it got crumbled up, you want to open it up to be able to use it, it's also not called Tikkun Mamah. But if you want to take out the wrinkles to make it perfect again, the way that it was before it was crumbled, right? Not just to straighten it out so you can use it. That's usher. That is tikkun mamon. Then you're repairing something that is more more kavua. It's more what's the English word? It's more not temporary. It's permanent. More permanent. Mm-hmm. More permanent. Anything that's not a tikkun in the thing itself, but just taking away an outside deterrent, is also mutter. For instance, taking off thorns from a beged, okay? Washing dishes, charis tikkun mamon. You're making the dish usable again. But there's nothing wrong with the dish. It's the food that's on the dish is a separate thing. So it's not that you're making a kli. The kli is perfect. It's just something else on it that's deterring you from using it, taking away that extra thing. Same thing. The clothing has thorns on it. You want to take away the thorns to be able to wear the clothing. That's not called tikkun mamon. You're not doing anything to the clothing itself. It's something that's outside the clothing that's a deterrent. On the other hand, if you have something that has rust on it, and you want to scrape off the rust, right, that's tikkun mamon. Because that's not an outside thing. That's something that became part of the kli itself, and the kli was in disrepair, and in order to make it repaired, you have to take off the rust. That's tikkun mamon. Oiling with any kind of oil, something that's creaky. You have a squeaking, creaking door, and you want to oil the joint. That's tikkun mamon. It's awesome. Okay, some things that are not tikkun mamon that you would think it is. Tikkun mamon is because of makkah b'patish. And one of the classical examples of makkah b'patish is you have a suit, a dress, whatever it may be, and when they make it, they leave threads hanging at the end, which are supposed to be cut off or pulled off. It's taking off those threads is the classical case of makkah b'patish. You're making the suit now wearable. And it wasn't before, because when it was made, it wasn't finished. The finishing touches are taking off those threads. On the other hand, what's more common today, for sure, is the following. You have a price tag the suit or the dress. You want to take off the price tag on Shabbos. You have pins that are in a new shirt that hold it together. You want to open it up and take out the pins. That's okay. Because that, again, is like washing dishes. It's not something that the suit or the dress wasn't finished, and you have to take off the price tag to finish it. The suit was finished perfectly. Then they added the price tag. That's a separate external thing. Taking away that external thing that was added after the suit was finished is not tikkun mamon. Taking out the pins that were put in after the shirt was finished and now prevent you from wearing it, that's not tikkun mamon. That's okay. The pins aren't mukta, and the price tag can be cut off. If you have nothing else to cut it off, you cut it with a scissor. Okay. Using a shoe tree on Shabbos. So if the shoes have become distorted, bent out of shape, and you're putting in the shoe tree to bring them back to shape, that's awesome. That's tikkun mamon. But if you're putting them in there so it shouldn't get bent out of shape, to keep the shape, that's mutter. Your taps fell off your shoes on Shabbos. Can't put them back on. That's also tikkun mamon. Part becomes part of the shoe, and putting it back is repairing the shoe. A nail comes out of the shoe. You can't put it back into the shoe. Okay, what else? To fold things into shapes, besides the fact that it may be kosev, but it's also tikkun mamon, making a kli, right? Origami, taking paper and folding it into different shapes is making a kli. Making something significant from nothing, from a piece of paper, that's tikkun mamon. On the other hand, where all you do is make a simple fold, right? Just a shape itself, like folding a napkin. or putting it there, not making any special, shape, just making a shape so the napkin will look nice on the table, that's not a problem. But to shape things into intricate shapes, that's takahasa. Blowing up a ball. That's an inflatable ball. So the first time is asa. If it never was inflated, it's like putting something into a pillow for the first time. If it was once inflated, and then it became deflated, then it's mutter. And even though it's new air, if Shlomo Zalman says, air is air. It's not like putting in new feathers. New air doesn't exist. Air is the same thing. On the other hand, if you have a bicycle and the tire went flat, you can't inflate it on Shabbos because the flat tire on the bicycle makes the bicycle in disrepair. And blowing up the inflating the tire is fixing the bicycle. So that's usher. Blowing up a balloon, the only reason that you can't really blow up balloons on Shabbos is because you normally have to tie them to keep the air in. But if you have a rubber band or some other way of holding it closed, or you want to tie it, you want to blow up the balloon and let it fly around the room. So you don't want to tie it. So then, of course, there's nothing usher about blowing up a balloon. Even though it's the first time, but it's not something that's kavua, it's not something that's made to last, and therefore it's not considered significant. But blowing up a balloon that you're going to tie, aside from the tying, that's taco awesome. Okay, now questions.
I'm glad the balloon case. So the first time you blow up a balloon, though, it just blow over the air and it only inflates to a small size. Now you're stretching it to a new size. That's not going to do.
It's probably no, because you're not creating a new kli. The kli was there, potentially. It's not a new kli. I don't think there's an issur by a ball or something that's more kavua, yes. By a balloon where the what's it called, the air, especially you don't tie it, comes in, goes out, it's not...
It's purpose, you have to stretch it, or they won't...
And make it inflatable.
Second time around, it comes a lot easier to open up, because it's already been done once. The first time, though, it actually takes pressure to get it to stretch. Now it's actually going to deflate.
So it wasn't until you blew it up the first time, it really wasn't functional.
Right.
I'm not sure. I hear. Could be it's also that in that case. Because then you're making it so clean.
Like a plastic cup that gets bent. You bend it back, but very often when you bend it back, you make a little crack. Like it cracks.
Then you're destroying something, but it wasn't kavana. If you bent it back, you wanted to bend it back to use it. Not that it should be cracked.
But isn't your
asper right? So maybe it's not a psychratia and it's a calcul. If your intention is to make the kli, if your intention is to destroy the kli and crack it, then it's mekalkil for no purpose, as asper midrabbana. Yeah.
When someone buys a suit, the pockets are often come sewn together. And so the suit is functional, the pockets are not. Some people keep them closed, some people open them.
You definitely can't open them.
Can't open.
No. Open them you can't. Because the mice are you're making a pocket. That pocket was sewn up, Badafka, right? And it's Dovish or Kayama, and some people try to leave it like that. They don't want the pocket. So you're making a pocket, and some of that you can't do a job. It's, besides that, maybe Korea. Probably could be Korea. The mice tearing stitches apart.
Yeah. The Rebbe said earlier about spraying fragrances into Antep. Is it include air freshener, stuff like that? Or is that?
No, if it's in the air alone, it's okay. If it goes onto solid things and gives them, what's it called, solid water, anything but your body. Some people hold your hair also as usher, but pashas we hold as mutter.
What's the usher?
Moly reyach. You're putting a reyach into something that wasn't there before. It's nolat. Moment. Side kick and moment.
The tags of the suits, that also includes labels from, say, dry cleaning?
Yeah, dry cleaning labels you can take off too.
Even if it's ripping letters?
No. No, and if you have to burn them off, you can't do that either, because you're going to be a fire. And if you want to take them off with electricity, you can't do that either. And if you want to carry them into Shusharabim, you get the
they're
point.
All stable.
What?
I like the burning thing.
What?
They're always stable together, and they always have writing on them.
No, you know, you can take them off without tearing the writing.
Could you pry?
If you can't, then you can't tear the writing.
Could you pry the staple open and like try and
pry the staple open to take them out? Yeah. Why not?
Move the staple like that.
Shira, make the staple Shira. Someone take it out. You know,
I've done it. What if someone keeps it on usually?
You take a staple out.
It's permanent. The staples usually
got the staple.
No, there's some permanent made to take out. They don't leave those things there forever.
Sometimes you just end up ripping like the other end of the tag, and the staple's still there.
No, you end up ripping the suit.
You want to take the staple out itself.
That, right, that way the tag just comes off. About the
taking a staple that was meant not to be there, kavua. I'm not sure.
If it was meant to be there less than 24 hours, then...
Yeah, but that's not true, because they put it in, it's meant to be in there as long as it has to be there.
Right,
so that's not the last 24 hours. So. Right, same.
But the rest of the holding, that it goes into a shape. Are they clear? Does that be
an intricate shape? Like you make it into a flower or something like that.
Does that mean it has to be recognized, or just a fancy design?
Something that's a fancy design.
It's not a particular shape, it's not a shape of a flower. But it's folded away. It's more than just a simple fold. It looks fancy. It's not a particular thing.
I know we've been through this.
Sure.
Example.
With a triangle, folded into many triangles. You take the thing and make a bunch of triangles, so it looks fancy, but it's really just a bunch of folds.
Well, it's
not because it looks like something, it's because it's an intricate design. From something more than a simple square, circle, triangle, some stamos.
What if it's a piece of paper?
Blowing bubbles with gum is a good child. For some people, it's right. Better not to make bubbles with bubble gum because it's like mold. And some people are making soap bubbles also.
And
some of you like both of them.
And the fact that it was good to make the sound out of it is not a problem either.
Sound out
so
of it?
They like to make
the air. Do a
popping sound of them. With a...
With gum?
No. No, the sound is not gum.
Can
we have a piece of paper?
Can I get a
paper? That's, I don't know.
It takes like 10 seconds to do it. But I think sometimes you have to fold it this way and that way.
That's also a simple design.
What if it's a piece of paper, like a Dvar Halacha that you pick up on the shelf, and you want to put it in your pocket, but it doesn't fit the way it is, so you're folding it into a shape to let it off.
Yeah, but that's not to make it a shape, that's what to make it smaller. That's okay. Okay.
Why is the problem
with
folding a
towel? What? Folding a towel is a baguette. We're talking about napkin. Folding a baguette is not what's it called. It's kibbutz. It's a separate thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you rip the label out of
the
if you have a like a label on your collar?
That's made to stay in there. That's normally. Other of them, most time people want the label, unless it's labeled from a schmalta that the doctor don't want people to think that it's. The labels are sewn in and they're meant to stay there. You can't take them out. If you have nothing else to cut the thing off with the, not the label, the price tag or something, it's not meant to stay there, then anything, you're allowed to use something that's muktzah machmas malachto lehisser, that's normally used for something also like a scissor, and you need it for something mutter, and you have nothing else to use, you're allowed to use a scissor. That's halacha in anything. Something that's not extra specially guarded, but you only use it for the yasser thing, use it for mutter things too. And Shabbos, you need it for something mutter, even though normally it's muktzah because the majority of its use is usher, you're allowed to use it for something mutter if you have nothing better to use. Okay.
the case of the blowing the ear, putting the ear into a pilot who were off the bike, does that make any difference?
If it was off the bike, yeah. If it had air in it once, and it's not on a bicycle, it's no different than blowing up a basketball a second time.
Wouldn't it be muksa?
Be muksa if it's meant to be put on the bike, dafka.
What do you use it for
otherwise? You have a thing. If it's meant to be put on the bike, it's muksa. But you have an inner tube, right, that you don't ever put on the car. So then it's like anything else. The tire is no different than anything else, but what you're saying, the tire's on a wheel, and the wheel's been put on the bike, the stomach of the tire is muktzah, because it's miyuchad for putting back on the bike, and that's binyan, and it's also to put it back up.
It's okay. If you have a little kid, it's okay.
What?
If you have a little kid, it's okay, because everything's in the
toilet. If you have a little kid...
The kid wants to take a bike wheel off the bike, and start pushing it around. It's like a toy
dam,
like 6 years, 4 years old.
I don't know if that's the major use. It's major use. It's only made to be put back on the bike, not to be used. If it's economy, if it's a tire, if it's a wheel, if it's not meant to put back on a bike, then it's okay to put.